We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Let's check out some temperatures real quick. Happy Thursday, everybody. 69 degrees at Hollis, 73 at Elk City, 71 at Arnett. Way out in the Oklahoma Panhandle at 70 at, Boise City, and 67 at the May Ranch. And then here in the Texas Panhandles, 70 at Canadian, 73 at Dozer, 72 at Wellington, and 72 at Odell. Well, on the show with me right off the bat, here's Mr. Greg Mouse, local cattleman and businessman. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Get a little closer there for me. There we go.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's your first time on my show, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. 5 years into this, and this is the first time I've got you on here. Something's wrong, Greg.
My agent keeps me booked.
I gotcha. Well, Greg, first of all, let's get started. What's coming up here pretty quick?
The 44th annual Oklahoma National Junior Heifer Show. It's a heifer show we have here in Elk City. And like I said, the 44th annual. It's just a fantastic deal for the community and for the kids involved and for anybody, really.
Right. Yeah, it's a national heifer show. And even if you don't show heifers or know anybody's show, I highly recommend you go out there to this. It's inside, and you'll see some beautiful animals.
Yep. We have a great facility that the city and the chamber help us take care of. It's fantastic. It is a national junior heifer show. That being said, it's open to anybody in the United States, 4-H and FFA children, kids.
Right. No Dean Kephart's.
No, Dean's more than welcome, but he's not allowed to show.
Just to let you know, and I just got off the phone. I was on the phone when Greg walked in with old K-Bar giving him heck about how he dresses for an open steer show.
Like I said, it's a fantastic thing for our community to have. It is the 44th annual. We traditionally have about between 135 and 150 heifers show up to exhibit. Once in a while, we'll get a few from the Texas Panhandle and from Southern Kansas even.
Right.
Not every year, but some. You talk about for the community to come out and look, even if cattle's not your thing or something, we'll have heifers here and have had in the past here in Elk City that have won entire breeds in Denver at the National Western.
Yep.
At Cattlemen's Congress.
OYE, maybe?
Breeds at OYE. I mean, the quality of the cattle that we have in Western Oklahoma that we draw to this thing is outstanding.
Who's judging this year?
Jennifer Hudlow.
Okay. I've heard she's that name. I don't know.
She's a judging team coach at a university. She judged Illinois State Fair this summer.
Yeah.
And she judged just 2 weeks ago at the American Royal a couple of breeds.
Right.
She grew up cattle producer Jeff Bedwell, her dad and parents. She grew up showing. Her brothers all showed. I think she does a great job with the kids, and is really fair and does a good job for us.
Right. So she knows her cattle.
Oh, yeah.
She knows it. Oh, yeah. So that's coming up the 21st, right, and the 22nd. The show is actually on the 22nd.
Correct. Saturday at 9 a.m.
Yeah, so let's go through let's start with the entries. The pre-entry is already passed. Now it's the late entry, right?
That's correct. There was a $10 discount for early entries to help us with the paperwork. Now anybody can enter from now until 8 p.m. on the 21st.
That evening.
Do it in person that evening.
Because y'all put them in classes at 8 o'clock.
That's correct. We'll have all the classes broken as soon after 8 p.m. as we can, have them posted, and we'll put them on. There's a Facebook, and the chamber has a Facebook page, and post all that for everybody to know because the show does start.
And the entry forms are on there, too.
Entry forms are on there as well. They can print them off. They can mail them to the Chamber of Commerce here in Elk City. They can fax them to them. The only thing we require is the entry form filled out, a copy of the heifer's registration papers so we can get them classed correctly and aged correctly, and then, of course, the entry fee. And without Susie and Karen at the chamber helping us, that this would be almost impossible because they do a fantastic job helping.
Oh, us. Yeah. It's our chamber deal out here. And also, I was just listening, and you were too, Jared on his Paragon News there. Susie's been here since 2000. 25 years, and she was just honored at some big deal over there in Eastern Oklahoma at the end of October. And she's a year older than me. And if I remember right, she's a sweetheart, and she does a wonderful job with all the things they do
it's amazing what they do for Elk City and the surrounding community, or the community, just to have everything. We're blessed to have her.
Yep.
And Karen.
And she's so laid back. It's hard to get her excited. I'd actually hate to see her excited if the truth's known. Well, let's talk a little bit about the different breeds of heifers. How many years you been involved in this?
Oh, goodness.
Day one?
Oh, certainly not. No. this thing started 44 years ago.
I was testing you.
It's amazing to help that people have stayed with this to keep, you know, it's like everything. It takes money and volunteers. And
yep.
We're never having excess of either one.
Right. Exactly.
Anybody's welcome.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't remember what you asked. Talking about the breeds, heifers.
Yeah.
All the breeds that are shown. I mean, traditionally, I mean, from Angus to commercial, we'll have, I think, 18 different traditionally. And the thing that's unique about our heifer show, or the Elk Siege International, is in addition to prize money, we give a champion and reserve breed champion buckle for every breed, with the one caveat. They have to have 5 head entered to make a breed.
Right.
If not,
to make a class or a
deal. Yeah, yep. we can do 5 to make a breed, and then the champion gets a trophy buckle, and I mean nice trophy buckles.
Right.
I've been around too long to have been to too many places, and these are as nice or nicer than you get at Tulsa or State Fair or OYE or anything. They're on that quality.
So what's those buckles? Do they have the breed that's on them, or just champion?
They do not. It'll say breed champion heifer. And 2025, and it has our.
Yeah, because you probably don't know from 1 year. They might be a couple breeds not being there. So.
And we've been a couple buckles short from time to time, and some people have been really good to us to work with us to let us give us a few weeks to get back to the buckle production place and get them one.
Well, we'll put you on the spot. What's your favorite breed?
I'm an Angus guy. Everybody knows that.
Oh, is that why it says Mouse Angus?
That's it.
So, yeah, there's the deal. What's your daughter's favorite breed?
I don't know. She's got a few red Angus cows. I don't know how I let that happen, but unfortunately.
She likes a little bit of semi, too, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yes. Got some Angus and some semi-Angus.
You graduated 81 or 82?
84.
Or 84. Oh, that's right. 84. Sorry, I didn't mean for you to be
that young.
But I remember when I was in FFA, I remembered you in 4-H and FFA, because your dad was always around. He was involved in everything. And between him and Wayne Garrison, they stayed on my case. They probably made me what I am today. And I don't know if that was good or bad. But there's a, because back in the day when we had our labor auctions back there in FFA, Wayne Garrison bought me every year for 3 years. And they wasn't one, none of this. It's just a donation. I had to go out there and watch and not watch. Rusty and Ricky watched me clean the old square bales out of the barn, get ready for the next year's freshman. But man, there's some good memories with your dad and Wayne, and that was a good deal. You've been involved in Angus all your life. How's the Angus breed changed from back when you was a kid to now?
Probably from a numbers standpoint, numbers being EPD numbers.
Right.
There's so much more concentration with some breeders, or their majority of them, with carcass traits and things like that. And we don't have enough time to get into the pros and cons, but I mean, it's a numbers game now for the bigger breeders.
Well, the genetics are so much better.
Yeah.
I think our beef quality's better at the grocery store, but you drive through here, you drive by you guys' place, like Brent Meadors or Taylor Ranch or any of those that's got, you know, in some of the McIntyre, Red Angus, all those guys, the quality of cattle is so much better. I mean, not that it was terrible right. before, but it's just better.
It's amazing that what you can do with production, you know, weight per day.
And these little shows like, and not little show, but this show like the Oklahoma National Junior Heifer Show, it shows it too.
Yeah, we have an incredible amount of quality in Western Oklahoma and in the whole state. I mean,
right.
We can go all over the United States and then where you're from, yep. Oklahoma. Oh, and Oklahoma is just synonymous with very high quality cattle.
Right.
Either commercial as well as registered show sure. stock, breeding stock, everything.
Right. It's crazy because I remember when I first moved back from Kansas in 08, in 09, I hadn't been to the Beckham County spring show in 25 years. I went over there and I was shocked of the amount of heifers that was in just that county fair at Sayre. And they were, that judge, I can't remember his name. He's a top quality judge. He said, "You want to pick the champion for OYE, just come to this show." That was his exact words. He said, "That's how good these heifer show is." And the heifers that are raised is here locally. It's crazy.
We've got several breeders around, and that was known for a long time when our children were showing and everything.
Right.
We were a lot more in touch, and you get to OYE or Tulsa State Fair or something like that, and Beckham County would be represented in the top two or three counties in the entire state.
Yep.
You throw Payne County in there. All yeah. they've got going on. I mean, Beckham County's been very fortunate.
Right. Well, back to the show. So there's like I said, the late entry deadline is on the 21st. That's the day, but Friday before the show, and they need to have your entry in before 8 o'clock because you start classing at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
And so everybody knows what they got to do. That's what makes it go a lot smoother the next day. And the last year, what was champion last year? You remember? I don't. I seen it. I don't remember. I should have looked it up. Somebody help us out there.
There was a Polled Hereford calf that I think would end up being reserve.
Yeah.
Champion or reserve that was.
Right.
Dang nice heifer.
I remember seeing it. I just don't remember what it was. And so Supreme Champion, the Jennifer Picks, the judge, will be $1,000 in the reserve. $500, and then all the breed champions like he in reserve all get those really nice buckles in. And also, it's pretty cool. It's a busy weekend in Western Oklahoma, period, especially because most of these guys are going to go right east on I-40 to the one at Custer County.
Clinton puts one on, have for the last 4 or 5 years and maybe longer.
That's the Oklahoma Western Heifer Show.
Right.
Yeah. Okay,
and they've
Western.
Been really good to advertise with us, and we do the same on our entry form as it's listed. You know, it's just a fantastic opportunity for a weekend of cattle showing in Western Oklahoma.
It's a good time to get you a hotel room
yep.
or make sure you got a heater in front of your trailer and
yep.
sleep.
It may be a little brisk on Sunday morning. Sorry, Clinton.
So if anybody's got any questions, who can they contact? The Chamber?
Chamber, LC Chamber of Commerce. Yep. Those girls will fix you up, and if they know more than I do. But if they don't, they can reach out to me or Brent Metter, and we'll.
Okay, cool. Answer. All right, exciting times in Oklahoma. And I got a quick question or quick conversation piece with you. You ready?
All right.
Are you holding down?
On.
So you had your daughter's Dr. Mouse, Dr. Goodman.
Yep.
I'm sticking with Dr. Taylor. But anyway, there's so what was it, 3 or 4 months ago up there on the north side of the vet clinic, you had a couple of shoots set up with some palpation panels on it. And I said something a couple times on the show about it. And tell me a little bit of history why you're involved in that, because it's a really nice setup.
It's been something I've worked on for a few years. Try to design something that was number one, usable and made with quality materials and affordable.
Right.
And I know lots of people have rent places and lots of, and everybody needs a vet from time to time. But when my daughter came back, I saw how many phone calls she would get. "Hey, I've got a cow down, Kevin. I've got a cow this. I've got a calf doing this." Okay. can you bring them in? Oh, don't have any way to bring them in. Will you have a place to catch them? No, we don't have anything to catch them in. Well, that leaves a veterinarian pretty limited what they can do. So I designed, I didn't invent the squeeze, it's not a squeeze shoe, yeah. But I didn't invent it by no means.
Well, that's made in Vernon, right?
The head gates.
The head gate is, yeah.
The head gates are Pearson head gates. That's right. The head gate that we use at several of our places and have their chutes used for years. I think it's the best quality, highest quality, and it's locally made, like I said, in Vernon, Texas. But anyway, I designed these chutes to be, like I said, affordable and usable, and where a guy could do everything himself or have a place for a vet to come help you, from doctoring calves to breeding cows to pulling calves. Everybody calving a lot of heifers, you know, have trouble sometimes. They won't take a calf and need a place to make one nurse with a panel on one side that would flip up in the squeeze.
Right.
And just, like I said, got the bug in my mind of thinking, to think of a way to do it. And a local welder friend of mine agreed to help me build them together. I'm certainly not a welder, but and every time we'll make three or four and I'll sell them, I'll think, hey, we could change this aspect of it to maybe make it a little better and not add much expense. So we're about on the third iteration, if you will, and I'm real tickled with them.
Yeah, no, it's a cool setup. I stopped by there and looked at them when, I don't know if it was Christy or Taylor called me about it, but I went by there and looked at it, and because I wish I'd have had that design when I built that set of lots out there west of town. But it's a system also, what I was looking at also is that when those two were set up out there, it looked like a system also where you could attach it to your portable loadouts out in the field. You know, your lots, you go from one field to another. Like my landlord's got one at one of his places. It's portable, but it hadn't moved in 8 years because it was a lot better than just building a set of lots. And I was thinking, 20-something heifers coming up to be pulled. I'm ready to go.
Well, these aren't portable per se.
Right.
But I can pick it up with a high lift jack, back a trailer underneath it or my pickup.
Yeah.
Pick it up in 5 minutes and take it to the next place. But they're way heavy enough to be used every day.
Yeah, they're not going to fall apart moving them all the time.
One of the neatest things about getting to sell them to some people and hearing how they use them is the last one I had on this last set that we had built is actually going to a veterinary clinic in Western Oklahoma.
Oh, cool.
My daughter's to be installed inside for them to use.
Right. It's a cool setup. Yeah, I can't wait for you to get some more.
Pretty good affirmation.
You got some more in the works,
right? We're working
on
right now.
Yeah, so because you just sold that last one there a couple days ago or weeks ago. What? It was cool. Well, Greg, I got a text message from our the champion last year was the sim percentage.
I thought, I'm pretty sure I know where she came from. So, yep.
Taylor have anything to do with it?
I don't think so, not that one. it really is. The quality of livestock and the quality of kids and families that come, it's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
That. Like I said, I know it's not everybody's thing, but if you're kicking around Saturday morning out messing around town and want to stop by, it doesn't cost anything to pull in there and look. You can walk around and kind of see what's it about.
Yeah. And if you're in the market for one, I bet there'll be some breeders in there that'll talk to you.
There'll be some people that fix you up.
Yeah, I'll fix you up real quick. Well, Greg Mouse, thanks again for stopping by, and appreciate you talking about the upcoming
Oklahoma
National. I was wanting to say Western, but that's the one down the road. Yep. Oklahoma National Junior Heifer Show. It's the 44th annual one. Elk City Chamber of Commerce is putting it on. And the whole show is sponsored by Western Equipment also.
And we have tons of great local sponsors.
Right.
Western Equipment came on a couple of years ago to help a big donation.
Right.
Help support it. But without the local sponsors and some breeders and some businesses here in town, we wouldn't be able to pull it off either. So don't want to be remiss on leaving them out.
And anybody's got any questions, all you got to do is probably just get on Elk City Chamber of Commerce Facebook page or just call the chamber. And if you want to help out, or if you just know somebody who's wanting to forgot about it and get an entry in, this is a good way to get it done.
That is.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate you coming by.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to take, what is today? Today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour. Let's take a Roger Mills County Farm Bureau break. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone Ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-AD2 radial tires. And get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
Need to dig it? Then it's time to rent it. But call 811 first and then head on over to DJ's Rentals and Sales and let their knowledgeable staff help you get it started. Whether it's a backhoe, a post hole digger, a mini excavator, or a skid steer that you need to help make that job a little easier. You can find them all and more at DJ's Rentals and Sales, 911 South Main Street in Elk City. Text them on the text line at 580-799-7214. Find and follow them on Facebook. And don't forget to call 811 first.
So there's a company out there that has a certain color. All the farmers and stuff think their oil has to be used in those certain color of tractors. And it's just not true. So here at Camrock, we have the same specification oil as the other brand, where people think that they have to use that for a certain color on their tractors and stuff like that. But we have the same oil specifications as they do. Works just as well, does the same thing, lubes it just the same. Price comparison is, it's not even a comparison. We have a better price than anybody around on that type of oil. I use it at our place. My son uses it for our colored tractors that we have, and a lot of other farmers use it too. It's the same oil, specifications are the same. It's kind of a myth where they think that it's got to be that certain type of oil for that color of tractor.
Camrock is the name of the company. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
We have a better price than anybody around on that type of oil.
You're already grabbing your jacket when you head out the door. You know what's coming very soon. Don't wait to winterize your vehicle. Anti-freezer wiping fluid, battery charger to keep in the car, engine starters, flashlights, rechargeable hand warmers, WeatherTech floor mats to keep the ice and snow off your floorboard, D-Gel diesel, scrapers, and de-icer. And those gloves, because the fingers are the first to get cold. You know who's got all this. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City. 716 West 3rd.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 3rd. 1,583 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 473 brought 465. 12 at 574 brought 407. 9 at 639 brought 385. 21 at 656 brought 365. 10 at 747 brought 357. 12 at 825 brought 333. 5 at 876 brought 330, 10 head of heifers at 482 brought 380, 7 at 514 brought 367, 15 at 563 brought 362.50, 21 at 590 brought 342.50, 4 at 628 brought 345, 7 at 759 brought 337.50, butcher cows 78 to 170, butcher bulls brought 141 to 182, bred cows 1300 to 3950, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sell every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Miami, Texas, 72 degrees, humidity's 30, dew point's 40. The winds are out of the south at 19 with wind gust up 23. No month-to-date precipitation so far. 58 degrees is the ambient soil temperature with me. All right, let's see. Let's check out the Central Crop Care out of Hobart, Oklahoma's grain market update. And, man, it's not pretty. It's all I can tell you guys. December corn's 428, down 6.5. March is 443, down 6.25. Soybeans for November, 1094, down 25.75. January, 1107, down 26.5. Soybean meal, December, 311.60, down 13.20. And January is 314.20, down 12.20. Soybean oil, December, 49.39, down 30. Hard red winter wheat, December, 522, down 17.5. March is 537, down 16.5. Live cattle, December 219.22, down $1.30. February 217.50, down 62. Feeders for November 322.50, down 322. and January 316 down 397, March 311.07 down 460, lean hogs December 79.37 down 122. A lot of red on the board today. Our new penny news is out. I got a couple things to. So the buy of the week, Brian's buy of the week, is the 21-gallon utility tub. It's just that was insert in the penny news. It was $12. Now it's $8. But one thing caught my attention in here, and it was, where'd it go? Must be on the second page. In here in the DeWalt section, it says buy a $3.49 5-gallon Atwoods DeWalt bucket, and you get 20% off on any DeWalt power tool or phone accessories that can fit inside. So you guys use your imagination. You can fit a lot of stuff in a 5-gallon bucket if you can afford to. So, and also, I kind of hinted to you guys last week it was coming out. So on page 6 in the Penny News on the in the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City's Today in Ag page, there's a QR code right next to my picture, because we are now on YouTube also. And I apologize yesterday, the first segment of the show, I guess you guys couldn't hear me, and I reset all my buttons during the break, and I guess everything worked out after that. So yes, now it's on YouTube. All the shows at KCO are on YouTube, and you just do that, put your phone up there, zoom in on there for a picture, and it'll take you straight to KCO FM's YouTube page, and that's where you can listen to my show also on there too. So pretty cool. All right, we're going to take an Elkhoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back. I got Mr. Creston Moore. We're going to be talking orange equipment when we get back. If you check it out on Facebook, Creston's on here. He's on here with me. He's in the studio with me right now. This cap is bright enough orange we can use it for deer hunting season. So we'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I was impressed that he came to my barn. That is what I like, is service. Service says a lot. I have not even been to his office. My time is very valuable to me. I'm very busy. It's a 35-minute drive from my house to Mangum. I don't want to drive down there every time I need something. That's going to kill at least 2 hours of my day, and I don't have that kind of time to spare. So when I get in business with somebody like this that gives me that kind of service, I respect the job that they're doing, and I appreciate the service that they're providing to me. I'm ecstatic. I'm very glad. It worked out like it was supposed to. You know, I don't think I could have picked a better insurance agent. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. Winter is right around the corner. Don't wait to secure the best nutrition for your herd. Call now to book your winter contracts for cattle feed, including our premium Mixed 30 liquid feed. Give your cattle the edge this season and make sure they stay healthy during the cold winter months. Call us or stop by today here at SEI Agritech in Elk City for all of your feed needs. Follow us on Facebook for updates and more information.
Your farm deserves only the best, and that's why Valley Genuine Parts are crafted to meet the highest standards to elevate your pivot's performance. Covering all your pivot needs, Valley Genuine Parts provide optimal operation and extend the life of your pivots. From drivetrain components to sprinkler parts, invest in the best for your farm. Valley is your partner in irrigation success. Stop by Knutson Irrigation or call 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Next spring, you'll fire up the tractor, turn the earth, plant the seed, and be on your way to another harvest. If you take care of your tractor right now. Before you put it up, do the maintenance so you'll be ready to go next spring. Everything you need to keep your tractor performing is at Camrock Supply. All the grease and hydraulic fluids and filters. All the nuts and bolts, all the tire patches. All the stuff is at Camrock Supply. All of it. Next to Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City. When it's time, make sure your tractor is ready to go.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Freedom, Oklahoma. Here's your northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update. 72 degrees, dew points 48, humidity's 42. The winds are out of south-southwest at 14. 27 one-hundredths of an inch of rain in the last 10 days. Three-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 54 degrees. Sunset at 5:36, sunny and 75 today, partly cloudy and 46 tonight, and sunny and 71 with light winds tomorrow. Tomorrow looks like a beautiful day. Well, in the studio with me right now is Mr. Creston Moore from Sayre, but he farms down there in Kiowa County around Hobart. But there's a really cool thing that this was your idea, I guess, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And you're alive on air. You can say yes.
Okay, yes.
You don't shake your head. Bear with me a second. I got to find it. Oh, there it is. Alice Cotton Days. This is going to be so cool. If I know I can get some connection with some personal hotspots down there, I'm going to do my show down there.
Okay, well, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think this is pretty cool. Creston, give us a breakdown. What's going on here?
Okay, so this is our first year doing it, and we're just calling it Alice Cotton Days. And it's just going to be a day where I'll have my collection out for display, and I'm encouraging anybody else in the listening area, if you have Alice or Gleaner equipment or know somebody who has it and you're proud of it, bring it out and to the show, and we'll have a good time with it. But the main attraction of this is the field demonstrations. I've got about 50 acres of cotton there, and we're going to have as many machines as we can out there using them. We're going to be stripping cotton, and then if people bring tractors and plows, we'll do moldboard plowing or whatever anybody wants to do. It's mainly just a day for equipment fans to get out and have fun with what they got.
Well, and it's November 14th and 15th, and that's coming up next week.
Yes. Yeah. It'll be here before I'm ready.
Yeah. So what's going on here? I'm looking at your web page that you got up. So Saturday, you got a lot of stuff going on here, so if you haven't got any plans yet, you're going to, on Saturday on November 15th at 10 o'clock, you're having a kids cotton pulling contest. Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah, so that'll be just a little fun time for kids. I think we're going to do ages 4 through 12, but that's subject to change depending on how many kids show up and who's interested. But we're just going to give every kid a sack and a row, and we're going to say go and give them a few minutes and just pull as much cotton as they can, and then we'll weigh the bags at the end, and then the winner will get a prize.
Yeah, and you have Miss Cotton Country 2025 Harley Gomez.
Yes,
she's going to be there, right?
Yep, she's going to be there. Where's she presenting from? The awards. I'm not sure exactly.
I'm not either.
From Southwest Oklahoma, though. It's a pageant that they put on. It helps provide them with scholarships.
Let me Google it. You keep talking about the kid deal.
Okay, so we'll be doing that on Saturday, November 15th at 10 o'clock. We'll have the kids cotton pulling contest. And then after that, at 11 o'clock, we have Chup Family Pedal Pulls is coming, and they'll be having a kids tractor pull for kids ages 4 through 12, and they'll bring all the pedal tractors and the sleds, everything. And the winners of this event will be able to qualify for the state pedal pull next year in Norman in 2026. So that'll be fun. And again, that's also ages 4 through 12. On both days, we will have a demonstration of proper engine cranking procedure for those of you who have hand crank tractors and maybe are a little bit of afraid that you might be risking life and limb by cranking it by hand the old way. It's a way that's been pretty much forgotten, but there are a lot of good techniques and tips to doing it right. And Michael Vandiver, a friend of mine from New Mexico, is going to be there with an Alice WD that he's restored, and he will be demonstrating that for us both days at 11:45. We will be having at noon both days a walkthrough history of the different models of Alice cotton strippers. They were producing cotton strippers from 1959 up through 1982, and we will have a very good representation of all the different models they had there, from the early tractor mounted Model 2S through the first 707 self-propelled models, the introduction of the Burr extractor in 1966, and then finishing with the late model 880 from 1982. And so it'll be, if anybody's interested in the history and changes of farm equipment through the years, they'll be able to watch and listen and see, you know, the way they morphed over the years into the latest product that they had there before they ceased production.
Was Alice the first one was self-propelled?
Well,
I can't remember.
It's a very close race between Alice Chalmers and Heston Farm Equipment. They had a two-row cotton stripper. I think theirs came out in 1965. They didn't have a saw-type burr extractor, though, like the Alice unit had.
Right.
So they were about 20 years ahead of the game with their sawtooth burr extractor. To compare it to other competitors, International Harvester never used a burr extractor, and then it took John Deere, I believe, till about 1984 before they offered a burr extractor on their cotton strippers.
All right. So how did you know I'm not a cotton farmer, right? You figured that out, knowing me for so long. So how did the burr extractor how did that change? How did that change things? What benefit was it?
It really revolutionized cotton harvesting. You know, you think back to the early, mid-60s, there were no module builders yet. So everybody, when they would harvest their cotton, they'd take it to the gin in trailers.
Right.
Well, when you just strip everything off the plant, like all traditional cotton strippers had done up to that point, you get leaves, you get burrs, sticks, all kinds of trash. And so you're not just hauling your cotton to the gin. You're hauling a lot of that foreign material.
Yeah.
And so you've got all that taking up room in your trailer, so you're not hauling as much cotton every trip. So that burr extractor they advertised would eliminate up to 2/3 of burrs and trash from your end product. So you had fewer trips to the gin. It would reduce the ginning costs. It'd be easier to gin the cotton. And that was their main selling point. And it went over very well. The first year that they had self-propelled cotton strippers, 1966, they offered two models, a 707 and a 707 XTB. And the XTB just means it has a burr extractor on it. And it was received so well that after the first year of production, they dropped the model without the burr extractor just because they weren't selling very many of them. And I would say that is probably the hardest model of Alice cotton stripper to find, is that first 707 without the burr extractor. And I was fortunate enough to find a couple parts 707 XTBs and with a burr extractor. And then I found out, it was up near Lubbock. I was out there looking for cotton strippers and I found a plain 707. And so I was able to get what I needed from that. Now I've got everything. I've got a 707 put together, and we'll have it there at the show.
Oh, cool. And are you going to have any cotton trailers out there for kids to stomp cotton for you?
Well, that's one thing I don't have is a cotton trailer. But
that's all I know about cotton, because I know I help stomp it.
Yeah, it would be nice to have a trailer there at the show just to display there with the tractor mounted stripper, so that people that are from out of state, because we've had people from Ontario, Canada, all the way to Washington State, New Mexico, Iowa, Pennsylvania say they're coming to this. So I know a lot of them aren't going to be familiar with it at all, and they probably never set foot in the cotton field.
I bet I could hook you up with a couple trailers.
Okay.
I know where a bunch of them were parked.
Well, If we could just get one there with some good tires on it, just to have it sit behind that tractor mounted stripper, just to show that, hey, this is what they would have blown it into, and this is how they would have pulled it to the gin. That would be nice.
I know a guy over by Burns Flat that I make a fan of his hair at that cotton meeting they had that you were at.
Yeah.
I bet he'll hook us up with one, because I've seen a bunch sitting out there. The tires were good too.
Well, that's good to know.
But they say, hey, Creston, I got Creston Moore on here. He's a cotton farmer from down around Hobart. And before we go to break, how many different Alice strippers did I see you operating on the Snapchat deal?
Well, the other day we were running four.
Right.
And we had the potential. We could have been running six, but the hardest part about cotton harvest, and it always has been, is the labor issue. And
right.
It's hard to get good labor. And then when you do get good help, it's hard to get everybody coordinated on the same day. Like, hey, we're all going to be here today and we're all going to work. But that day, everything, the stars just kind of aligned, and we had four strippers running that day.
That was a pretty cool video.
We can cover some acres pretty quickly when everything's going good.
All right, we're going to take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
Hey, Cowboy Country, listen up. The KE Showroom Radio Show will be live this Saturday morning from 11 to 2. Just look for the big red truck in the parking lot of the Elk City Napa store for Backyard Butcher's Bulk Meat Sale. They'll be there for three full days, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. You can get 20 ribeye steaks for just $39. That's less than $2 per steak. And while they last, get 2 pounds of crab legs for $39. It's three full days of Backyard Butcher's Meat Sale. Don't miss it. Look for the big red truck at the Napa in Elk City. Cash, credit, debit, and EBT accepted. Find out more online at backyardbutchers.com.
Luck is in the air this November at Lucky Star Casino. Saturdays are stacked with autumn riches. We're giving away over $200,000 in cash. The cash is falling. Only at Lucky Star Casino. Come and get your luck at Lucky Star Casino.
Come and get your luck. Come and get your luck.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
XIT Auctions has a huge auction coming up Saturday, November the 8th, 5 miles north of Elk City, Oklahoma. The Lonigans are moving, selling four trailer loads of awesome furniture, household, shop tools, welding equipment, farm equipment, and much more. Saturday, November the 8th, the auction starts at 10 a.m. XITauctions.com for information or call me, Aubrey Latham, 393-4440. Saturday, November the 8th, north of Elk City, Oklahoma, XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Mangum, Oklahoma, here's your Hobart Farming Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma, 75 degrees. Dew points 48, humidity's 39. The winds are out south-southwest at 9 miles an hour. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 62 degrees. Sunset at 5:40, 78 today, 48 tonight, and very nice tomorrow at 77. Just warning you, Sunday, it don't look good for there on for just a couple of days, but get your windbreaker out. Well, Creston Moore is on here. He's a cotton farmer here from Kiowa County. And he works for the NRCS. I don't want to forget that, but we're not going to razz him about that today because I know his paycheck's pretty low today. But then, Creston, thanks for coming on and talking about this. I can't wait for this. I got to be there Friday, and then as soon as the show's over, I got to be going because I got to deliver some beef to Kansas. So I got a lot going on Friday, but I'm looking forward to this. The Alice Cotton Days will be happening, and it's real easy to find. It's 4 miles east of Hobart, on what, 2240, is that right?
Yeah, north-south County Road, 2240.
Right. Yeah, it'd be easy to find, and if his equipment is as bright as his cap that he has, he's already getting ready for hunting season here for opening day of deer season, but Alice oranges are always bright. You never... Back in the, see who had it, Shrek's had Alice back in the 70s and 80s, and you can see that orange equipment for miles, and I'm not making fun of it, but I never had the privilege of owning one or operating one much, but Alice, what's the story on Alice Chandler today?
Well, as a lot of people know, they're not around under that name anymore. In the 1980s, they were in some pretty bad financial trouble due to mismanagement at the corporate office up in Milwaukee. What a lot of people don't know is that farm equipment manufacture was just a small part of who Alice Chalmers was. A lot of their main interest was in oil and gas, energy production, electricity generation, distribution. Before that, they did a lot of flour milling equipment. And so farm equipment was just a successful side industry that reaped the benefits of good engineering that they used for their other lines. And so when they got into financial trouble in the 80s, it was because of a lot of high dollar risks that they took in oil and gas exploration, coal gasification, things like that.
Yeah, and early 80s wasn't very bueno for oil and gas.
No, it was pretty bad, and they lost a lot of money doing that. And so one of the first things to go was the farm equipment division, which was ironically one of the only things making them money.
Yeah.
And so they sold it off to a German company, Kuchner Humboldt Deutz, out of West Germany. And they came in and branded it Deutz Alice, or if you're an Oklahoman, you say Deutz. And so Deutz Alice was in business for a few years, and they mainly wanted the equipment dealerships and the Gleaner Combine line, and then they dropped the tractor line, and that made a lot of loyal orange customers very upset because they weren't going to go for the new air-cooled seafoam green tractors.
Right.
And so sales were pretty low for a few years, and then later it was sold off and reorganized as what we have today is AGCO, which the acronym stands for Alice Gleaner Company, and a lot of people have forgotten that, but that is the name behind AGCO. And AGCO today is a conglomerate of a lot of different companies. Of course, it was Alice and Gleaner, but it was also Minneapolis Moline, Oliver, White, Massey Ferguson, New Idea, Sunflower. It's just a lot of companies tied up into one. And they are still the company today that you would call if you need any parts for your old Alice or Gleaner equipment.
Well, I was asking about that earlier because, you know, you have a lot of old equipment. What year model was the little tractor you had over there with the side mower on it?
1942.
Yeah. And so how hard is it to find parts nowadays for Alice?
Really, it's no harder than anything else. I mean, if you're willing to put in a little time, I order most of my stuff off the internet just because of convenience. But I mean, if you go to an AGCO dealer, you can still get nearly everything you need. And if they don't have everything you need, with the thousands and thousands of tractors they made, it's really easy to find salvage parts.
Right. Yeah. And because you was talking about the bearings and stuff like that, that's pretty generic.
Yeah.
So how many cotton strippers, self-propelled ones, do you have?
Well, that I you just the, ones
is your
that,
wife listening?
Well, probably. Fortunately, she doesn't seem to care as long as it doesn't bankrupt us and, you know, it's for the farm. But are you talking about ones that are just operable or all together everything?
Let's make it simple. How many are operating?
Okay. Well, I got about seven.
All right. So how many are not operating?
Well, there's probably another seven.
So what is it that fascinates you about the Alice Chalmers? Because obviously you're ate up with it, but you're knowledgeable about it.
Yeah, well, I actually, and a lot of people wouldn't believe this if they spoke to me for a while, but I was raised a John Deere guy. I was really hardcore green and yellow up until probably about fifth grade. I just, you know, that's what I was around. Everybody said it was the best. So I said, okay, well, it must be. And then I got to researching things on my own, and I got to learning who the innovators were, like, you know, who was pushing new ideas, who was leading the way with new technology on equipment. And it wasn't John Deere. Right. It was Alice Chalmers.
Right.
They were one of the first companies to come out with a combine that could harvest over 100 different species of crops. And they did that in 1935. And the way they did it was with rubber-faced cylinder bars. You could harvest anything from corn and soybeans and wheat down to really delicate, fragile grass seeds, because that rubber wouldn't crack the seeds. It would just gently thresh it out of the heads.
Right.
They came out with the first round baler, first successful round baler in 1947. It didn't catch on quite like they were hoping it would, but they kept producing them up through the early 70s. And then later on, big round bales eventually became real popular. They were the first to come out with electro-hydraulic controls on combines using switches and solenoids instead of levers and valves in the cab. Let's see. They had the quietest tractor cab in the industry from the early 1970s, 1973 to be exact, up through the 1985 when they ceased production of their 8000 series. They had one of the biggest cabs in the industry on the 8000 series.
I read that somewhere that they had the most roomy, comfortable ones on the
8000 series. 8000. Yeah, they were very nice tractors, and they still are today. And in fact, after Alice Chalmers ceased tractor production in 1985, a lot of their tractor engineers went to John Deere and International, but they took that cab design with them, and that's the same cab design that's on the 7,000, 8,000 series John Deere's of the 90s.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. If you sit in the Alice 8,000 series, and then you crawl over into a John Deere 7,000 series, you'd think, man, this is something familiar here. Yeah.
No, that's why I was saying that. I was like, because that, you know, there's no comparisons to the Soundguard cab to the 7000 series.
Right. Yeah, it's a huge improvement going into the 7000 series. And the 7000 series really are nice tractors.
Yeah. No, they're really good tractor. Well, we got a couple minutes left here. Let's hit back on the Alice cotton days again. Matter of fact, you got some guys coming from the manufacturer to the day. So
yeah, we've had a couple guys. One is from Illinois, and he worked in Milwaukee's corporate office back in the 60s on tractor design projects. And he called me yesterday, and he was really excited to learn about this. He said, I'm bringing the RV. He said, I'll see you there.
Oh, cool. Well, the Schmidt and Sons, where are they out of? They're AGCO dealer.
Yeah, out of Mount Hope, Kansas. Okay. They are my trusted AGCO dealer, and I would recommend them to anybody needing parts for AGCO equipment or for older Alice Gleaner equipment. They have a ton of new manufactured parts, of course, from AGCO, as well as a huge stock of new old stock parts for Alice and Gleaner. And I can't think of anything that I've needed for any of my old equipment that they have not had or couldn't find somewhere in the country.
Well, they're the sponsor of your kids' pedal tractor pull, And then you got Bent Brim BB Fencing Company. Bent Brim Fencing Company. I said BB. They're helping out with the cotton picking contest.
Yep, that's Monty McBride from Goatee Bow. He's providing prizes for all the kids.
How do you go to go to Goatee Bow? That's my favorite saying from high school. and again, it starts on November 14th at what time?
Yep, well, there isn't really an official start time that day. We'll probably be out there about 9 o'clock or so, just welcoming people in, getting things set up,
checking stuff out.
Yeah, last minute.
We're gonna have some toys too there.
Yeah. John Valick is coming. He builds 1/64th scale farm toys for equipment displays, people that are into that hobby. So he'll have quite a big trailer there full of toys for display.
All right. And that's 4 miles east of there's my sign. Shut up, Jimmy. So it's 4 miles east of Hobart on at the intersection of East 1380 and North 2240. I'm excited. Are you?
Yeah, I'm excited. I hope it goes really well. It's a lot of weight for one guy, but I'm going to try to make it work as best I can.
Well, and then how does people get a hold of you if they got any questions?
The best way is to go to the website. It's alicecottondays.webador.com. And then there'll be a contact tab on there, and it'll have an email and a phone number. You can get a hold of me that way.
And I'm going to post this on KECO's Facebook page this afternoon. And so there'll be a link in there where you can check it all out. It's a pretty cool deal. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
96.5 KECO.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest stars in country music.
Here they are. Yeah.